Lord God, we thank you for the night. Lord, we thank you that we're able to come and to open up your word and learn of you. Lord, we understand your word is your voice to us, and you have many things to say, God. You want to encourage us. You want to lead us according to your spirit. You want to change us from glory to glory. So tonight, we pray as we continue on in Genesis chapter 20, God, that you would be pleased. We pray that you would work on our hearts, Lord, and that we would be more like you when we leave. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Last week, we started our study in Genesis chapter 20. We went through the first seven verses. We had a message entitled, Oops, Not Again. And the reason why we chose that title for last week is because way back in chapter 12 of Genesis, we say that Abram, with his wife Sarai, he did the same blunder as he did in chapter 20. He said, hey, honey, we're going to go through this new land. There's going to be a Pharaoh guy, and he's going to check you out, and he's going to see how beautiful you are. But please don't say that you're my wife. Say that you're my sister, so that way I will be safe, and I won't be harmed, and I won't be butchered. So that's what happened in chapter 12, and now we're in 20 years, and now they're in a different area. They're in south central Israel, where a king named Abimelech lived. He was a Philistine king, and Abraham finds himself again with his beautiful wife Sarah, and they're old, but she's still a babe. And he says, hey, he told Abimelech, the king, he goes, hey, the girl that I'm with, that's not my wife, okay, it's my sister. So Abimelech says, hey, if that's your sister, I'm going to take her for myself. Boomerang, backfired. And as we brought up last week, guys, sometimes well-intendedly, we say stuff thinking that it's the right thing, but it's not. And we end up hurting other people. Now, this week is part two. We're going to look at verse 8, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. And the title of our message tonight is Represent. And what's that mean? It's, you know, I had to pick some kind of urban culture thing, represent, you know, type of thing. But it's to bring clearly before the mind. Represent is to serve as a sign or a symbol of, to portray or exhibit, depict, or to serve as an image of. In the urban culture dictionary, represent is a good example to the others of your group or in your position. So as we talk about Christianity, one of the desires that we're to have, other than serving the Lord and fulfilling his will, that we would be a good witness to everyone, to our fellow Christian, as well as the world. And sometimes that's a challenge, but that's what we've called to be. Now, when we look at Abimelech and we look at Abraham, there's going to be a nice lesson for us, especially when it comes to representing the Lord properly. Actions speak louder than words. I don't care how much you call yourself a Christian. If you don't act like it, you don't act like it. And it's something that we really need to learn. And one of this, my side notes was here, will the real Christian please stand up? It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. Okay, I remember when I was really young in the Lord, I was really aggressive. It's not that I'm not aggressive now, but I was really aggressive, and people said, are you a Christian? I go, yeah, I am, you know, and stuff like that. And they had a hard time accepting that I was a Christian. And the Lord had to change me over the years, you know, chop me down and humble me and things. But again, we need to act in a way that reflects Christ and reflects who we say we are. Looking at Abraham and Abimelech, when you hear the names, typically, which one to you would fit in the godly category? Who would you fit in the ungodly category? Now, as we unfold our story tonight, we will see the tables will be turned, okay? So, in another kind of review, God the Father visited Abimelech in a dream. And in that culture, dreams were significant. They were likened to the voice of God. And God told Abimelech, the Philistine king, he says, hey, you're a dead man. Okay, the woman you have is another man's wife. And a puzzled Elimelech goes, I don't understand. What are you talking about? I'm blameless. The guy told me she was my sister. And in the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said, yes, I know that. I understand. And I have kept you from sinning. Therefore, I did not allow you to touch her. Give her back. Because if you don't, you will surely die. And this is where we find ourselves tonight in verse 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Abimelech, as I said before, he's the king of the Philistines. He took his encounter with God seriously. See, religiously, the Philistines served false gods like Dagon, Asheroth, and Beelzebub. He could have refused the word of the Lord like the Pharaoh did in the times of Exodus. He could have said, hey, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Why should I obey him? I do not know the Lord. I will not do what he has told me to do. But instead, Abimelech responded to the voice of God, to the voice of the one true God. He was confronted with love and grace, and he responded. Ask yourself a question. When the word of the Lord comes, do we take it seriously? Do we respond to it? Do we take heed to it? The word of the Lord can come to you via a sermon. It can come via K-Lite Radio. It can come via reading a devotion, reading your time in the word. It can come through your wife. It can come through your husband. It can come through your child. Do you respond to the word of the Lord, or do you shut your ears? Now again, Abimelech, he rose early. He didn't sleep in without care. It wore on his heart. The word of the Lord was important to him, and he moved on it. In moving on it, he called his servants. He brought them all together. It was a pressing situation that required drastic measures, and he told the message that was shared with him by God. The directive to his servants was serious and weighty, and the message caused great fear to come upon the people, frightened to reverence. Reverence is an intermingling of fear and respect. So when the word of the Lord comes to us, what do we do? Are we like Jonah? The word of the Lord came to him and he took the boat and went the other way? Or when the word of the Lord comes to us, do we respond and run toward God and do what he tells us to do? The Bible says, do not merely be a hearer, but we're to be an active doer of his word. In James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, if God speaks to us, we need to respond. A lot of times we have a deaf ear to it. Or remember when you're like a little kid and you're hearing, na, 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 na. We can't do that. Okay, we need to go, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yes, Lord, I'll respond to you. Yes, Lord, thy will be done. Yeah. That's so cute. I know you weren't saying it when I did it. Hebrews 12:5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. I don't know about you, but I sure like to avoid being in confrontational situations or being scolded. But you know what? When it comes to the Lord, we need to listen and listen well. In regards to the word of the Lord, how many of us deafen our ears to him? And then we try to justify our actions, as we will see Abraham will try to do later. We are called to respond. The word of the Lord is not a suggestion or a recommendation. It is a truth. It is a directive. It is a command. It is a must do. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? What's so striking about the story? They failed to listen to God. And what happened? Anybody know? Huh? Died. That was simple. Make. I think, you know what? Maybe we need that nowadays. Can you imagine the word of the Lord comes and you don't respond? I think we need that. I think we need to be sometimes scared out of our wits because we have it so good and we take things for granted. I don't know if you were here for Pastor Bill's message this morning, but he talked about getting ready because the time is right for Jesus' return. We can death in our ears and we can close our eyes to all the signs that are going on, but man, this world is messed up. We need the Lord to intervene in a big way. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, ethnos versus ethnos. This place is messed up. And it's changed so quickly, hasn't it? In the last 5 years, it's changed so quickly. I have a son that serves in the military. I'm not sure where he's at. Not that I'm scared, but it's sort of like it's concerning. Because you don't know what the leaders of this free world are thinking. Half of them don't love the Lord anyway. Half of them are just in it for themselves. They're all into this junk, you know. CRT, DE. I, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, you know, it's like, what is this? Hey, why don't we just concentrate on the Lord and Him crucified? Why don't we just listen to the still small voice of God and respond to Him? What is God speaking to us today in the midst of this mess that we're living in? So anyway, God comes to Abimelech. And Abimelech sees the importance of what God says to him. He calls all his servants. He calls all that are under him. He puts out the warning. And then in verse 9, Abimelech called Abraham over. Now, Abraham was summoned by Abimelech. So I was thinking, well, what was Abraham thinking? You know, it's just like at work when they say, hey, the boss wants to talk to you. Oh. Or maybe in the school situation, hey, that was Pastor Ed, and he wants you to come to the office. Why? I don't know. Just go. Sometimes I do that. I get up and I told Mrs. DeLago, hey, would you call this student down? Why are you calling him down? I just call him down. Pastor Ed, am I in trouble? No, I just wanted to say hi. I haven't seen you for a while. How's it going? Oh, my, you scare me. I said, that's good. Just, how you doing? Well, in this situation, Abraham wasn't just being called down to the office. He was going to be called down to be exhorted and to be scolded. It's pretty shameful when the ungodly correct the godly. Hey, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. See, Abimelech, the unbeliever, is telling the believer, what's up? What gives? Why'd you do this? Man, you're putting us through grief in a big way. Not only me, not only my servants, but my kingdom and my wives. What's going on? Why did you do this wicked thing to me? The Bible tells us as believers, we must have a good report, not only inside the church, but outside of a church. How many times have we failed to be a good witness for the Lord? You know, we're representatives of Him. I remember when I was working in the world, I had this moment when, because I've always been sort of like an aggressive guy. I know that sort of puzzles some people, but, you know, they look at me, oh, what a softy. He's just a teddy bear. Brah! So I worked in a high-stress environment before, and one time I was with my coworkers on my team, and I just went off on them. I said, what are we doing? Are you kidding? And one of the guys goes, oh, Ed, who you think you are? You know, you're a Christian, and blah, 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 blah. And I felt so bad and so small. But I had to go back, hey, this is the reason why I did this, is because, you know, we're slacking here, and we got patients that depend on us. And yeah, it was no justification for me to go off on everyone, but I must say that, you know what, we need to be on the A game when we're treating people, because people are trusting us, and they're entrusting their lives or the extension of their lives into our care. So, you know, we can't just do things, you know, haphazardly or in jest and things. And yeah, my tack, you know, my tack was wrong, but it is what it is, and we got to get past that. As a Christian, I need to be blameless. I need to be of good repute. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Have you ever borne a false witness? Have you ever misrepresented something or someone? You know, we need to take heed to the statement of Abimelech. Your words have affected me, my family, my people. What caused you to do this shameful thing, uncalled for thing, awkward, non-representative God, the God you serve thing? Why? We need to, we need to grow from that sometimes. If we mess up, we need to, make short accounts, and we need to confess what we did and why we did it wrong. Sometimes we walk in the flesh, and we need to admit that. In verse 10, Abimelech said to Abraham, asked Abraham, what have you encountered that you have done this thing? What did I do to you? What were your intentions? How would you gain from this? Why did you do this thing to me? What were you thinking? Again, when we start thinking about ourselves, we start doing silly things. We start doing ungodly things. We sort of abandon those virtues and those morals that we so invested into our hearts. We start abandoning those things because, again, it's easier to resort to the things of the flesh than the things of God. So Abraham goes on. He says, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they would kill me because of my wife. Now, as we look at these two men, in reality, who feared the Lord? Let's talk realities, okay? Who had more of a heart toward God? It puzzles me that Abimelech, a man that served false gods, he was more apt toward listening to the one true God. Don't be fooled. Just because you have a tattoo that says Jesus, just because you have bumper stickers all up the gazoo, just because you have the biggest Bible, just because you come to church, your actions speak louder than your words. I remember Keith Green, he was a Christian musician years ago, says, just because you go to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Just because you come to Calvary Chapel doesn't make you a Christian. And I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but again, we need not to take the labels, we need to just live it out. And sometimes we do all have bad days. You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Will the real Christian please stand up? Now, as a Christian, are we perfect? But there's a certain expectation in regards to how we should live our lives. As a Christian in a secular workplace, I shouldn't be known as the best joke teller of off-the-wall jokes. I shouldn't participate in gossip sessions. I shouldn't have the worst prophetic mouth ever. Okay, I probably shouldn't be going to the cooler and having certain libations. Well, but wait, Pastor Ed, wait, you're going too far. No, I'm not going too far. If you know it's a sin, it's sin. I tell this to my students, hey, you see me, they have some nice Mexican restaurants over here, you see me at one, and I'm drinking a margarita, what would you say about me? Oh my gosh. I can say, well, it's a virgin drink. Well, it's the, am I blameless? Am I displaying Christ properly? If you see my wife and I at Costco and I have a bad day and I'm going off on her, is that displaying Christ in a proper way? My wife really gives it to me. The other day we let our dog out early in the morning, right? So I'm calling, come on back, right? Because my wife has chickens, right? So my dog's pestering the chickens. Get out! My wife says, do you have to be, honey, it's so early. Do you have to be like that? You know, the whole neighborhood thinks you're gonna, like, you're up here killing the family. Really? I said, babe, I'm not a soft-spoken man. Yeah, okay, all right. Come back in the house and shut up. Yes, dear. Got to be proper, you know. We got to be good examples. Pray for me. We're going to see my family next week. My dad turns 91 on Sunday. We're going to go hang out with the family, and I'll undoubtedly see my sister, and we'll get into it about something. Ding, ding! Body blow, body blow. Try to be a good example. So it's like, Well, anyway, Abraham thought, hey, there's no godly fear in this place, and you're going to kill me because of my wife. And besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife, and it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is the kindness which you show to me. Everywhere we go, say to me, he is my brother. Last week we were talking after the service, and you know, one of the brothers saying, well, it was actually, you know, his sister, and I go, yeah, but you know what, this is sort of like, what takes precedence? The wife, not the sister aspect. And the way I look at it is that he was trying to justify himself, because that's what the flesh does. We always do that. But, why'd you do it? But. And we can't do that. Excuses. My parents aren't Christians, but one of the things I appreciated, my dad, he would tell me this statement all the time. He says, hey, the more you talk, the more guilty you are. The more you try to justify your position, you're wrong. Stop talking. But. Excuses are worth nothing. And we have to understand that when we blow our witness before the Lord, that our excuses are worth nothing, because we ultimately sin against who? God. And we need to consider what we say before we say it. Now, after Abraham gives all these little excuses, and we know that Abimelech was commanded by God to release the wife, he does. And in verse 14, it says, Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife to Sarah. So not only did he get his wife back, He got a whole ton load of things. He was blessed. The Bible says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Abimelech was humbling himself before the Lord. And again, in receipt of that, in exchange for that, we see that God honored Abimelech. The wronged gave the gift. Let's look at this as an offering to God. He was wronged, but yet he gave to the Lord, to Abraham. Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please." To Sarah, he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared." Now, what did Sarah do? She said, "Hand it over, buddy." No, she didn't do that. She yielded herself totally to the Lord. My wife and I, as we were driving home last week, she said, "I know what." Sarah didn't say anything to Abraham because she was saying, "Hey, that's between you and God. You know, you made a bad choice. Oh, you're going to live with it." She didn't have to spice it up. You know, she didn't have to act like the Holy Spirit because God was working already and God was working on his heart. Now, in this situation, we see God supernaturally moved on Abimelech and changed his view of the man who brought shame upon his family. Like, if it was me, if Abraham did this to me, I would say, "Get out of here now. Leave immediately. I don't want to see you around. I will smite you. Take your wife and go. I'm giving you all these little gifts and penance. Go." But what did he say? "Hey, hang out if you want to. Settle wherever you please on my land." In the flesh or the natural, he should have responded, "Get out of here," but yet he didn't. He was yielded over to God. And you know, if you think about it, having Abraham live in his land or on his property would serve as a reminder of the event. That is that chump that said that gal was his sister. I brought her into the harem, and then I got all kinds of problems after that. But yet, only the Lord would do this. But yet, I invited him to stay. Isn't that how the Lord works? That's how the Lord works in our lives. Something that we would totally not do, we end up doing because we're submitted to him fully and completely. Having Abraham live in the land can be a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on the perspective. It was a good thing because it was God's perspective. It would be a bad thing if it was the world's perspective. Maybe Abimelech needed Abraham to stay there as a reminder of God's goodness toward him and what he was delivered from. Sometimes we look at bad things, situations in our life, and we got rid of it, and we want to get rid of the memory of it, but God wants us to keep it on the forefront of our mind to remind us about his goodness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness toward us. It's like those memorial stones. You have memorial stones in your life? Something that God has delivered you from that was such a nightmare and such a pain. We need to remember those things so we can give glory to God. We tend to forget those things, but we need to remember them. I remember this time last year. Was it this time last year? This time last year, a little bit after. I couldn't walk. Then I was soon after on that walker. Then I had to use that wheelchair. And I was bedridden. Bad memories. But in retrospect, I see how good God was. Even though when I walk now, it still hurts. At least I'm walking. Even though I never want to go through that again, I see how God loves me, he's faithful, and that in the midst of that time, I learned a lot of things about me, but I learned so much more about him, and how he wanted to move in my life during that time. Sometimes in the midst of the nightmare, God has something joyous for us to learn. Now, I'm not saying go back and remember all the, the nightmare times, but sometimes we need to look at those memorial stones so that way we can be thankful. Like our middle son, the one that's in the United States Navy now, boy, that kid was a pain when he was in his in high school years. I had to expel him from the school and get rid of him. Moved him to California 2 years before he was supposed to get out of the house. That was a hard time. My wife told me, she came, because my wife's a teacher, she says, I want him out of my class right now. I said, babe, you're the only foreign language teacher here. She says, I do not care. Out of here. He's arguing with me. You know, blah, 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 blah. He's cheating. I told him to hold up his hand. All the answers are in the hand. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That was a hard time in our lives. But you know what? In retrospect, I see how God moved. He got out of the house. He went to another Calvary Chapel Christian school. He became the football captain. He was a homecoming queen. Queen, not homecoming king. Sorry. I knew I was going to make you guys laugh. So not the queen. That kid would not be, out of all kids, that guy would not be the queen. No, he wasn't. He was the king. He had the imperial butter hat. He went to college. He knocked out all of his college, his undergrad and his master's degree in 5 years. The guy really turned it on. And now he's serving our country. Maybe he's not in a place where I want him to be with the Lord, but, he'll wise up. He's in a cigar tube in the water. I'm sure God is speaking to him about things. And yeah, that was a hard time in our lives, but I see how God used it. One way he used it is that I used to tell parents, I said, hey, if I expelled my own child, I will have no hesitation expelling yours. I mean, just the plain truth about it. I did it because of love, nothing else. Hard things. Sometimes we have to go through hard things, financial things that are hard, health things that are hard, family matters that are hard, life matters that are hard, all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Again, Abraham was the perpetrator, but yet he benefited. And you know what? That's a picture of salvation and of forgiveness. Abimelech deserved to be killed by God, but he was an innocent bystander. The one that really needed to get punishment was Abraham, but yet God spared him. In looking at the two lives, who acted more like a believer? I think Abimelech did. It's sad when a believer acts more like a worldling than one that's been redeemed, speaks more like a worldling than one that's redeemed, does stupid things like a worldling compared to someone that is not a worldling. Reminders are good. Be reminded how the Lord has delivered us from ourselves. Be reminded of his blessings and his undeserved gifts. Be reminded of the eternal judgment we should face, but yet we escaped. Be reminded, be reminded, be reminded. When we don't remind ourselves, that's when we get too big for our britches and we start acting up, right? Then we start acting like, oh, I've conquered. I've conquered and I'm victorious. You're nothing. You're nothing. It's just by the grace of God. So in verse 17, as we close, it says, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore children. So a part of the judgment against Abimelech was that all the wombs of the women there were closed up. They couldn't have kids or anything. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. All kinds of lessons here. Guys, if God has blessed you with a wife, take care of her. Don't take her for granted. Don't treat her like that plastic cup that you get from 7-Eleven. Treat her like that fine china. You don't put fine china in the dishwasher, do you? You put fine china in the dishwasher? No, it won't be fine anymore. Do you put like a 7-Eleven cup in the dishwasher? It can't be melted down. But how many of us do that to our wives? Woman! I've been married for about 35 years. You know, you learn. You know, when you're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed and stuff, then you take things for granted. You can't take things for granted, especially when you get older, right? You don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning and they're going to be breathing. I mean, my wife's saying, she's going, he'll probably not be breathing before me, babe. Yesterday, I got these, my hands are hurting. I go, babe, and she goes, can you open the water for me? Sad, right? She's looking at me, right? She goes, aren't you the same age I am? I said, yeah, well, you're a little older, babe. No, she's the same age, but I'm so feeble. She goes, well, why don't you go out, you know, why don't you go ride 50 miles, you know, maybe you'll feel better. Whatever, babe. You know, why don't you go paddle 60 miles? Whatever, babe. When you get older, you can't take things for granted because you don't know, right? You don't know tomorrow I'm here, the next day do not boast about tomorrow, for I don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. You know, this morning we were talking, she was sharing with me about like one of her friends' husbands just died, and this guy, apparently he was a stud, you know, paddle, carpenter. But all of a sudden, he fell ill. And then her friends that have a reoccurrence of cancer and things, it's sad. You know, maybe because of this, maybe because of that, maybe they Pfizer'd out, maybe they, you know, I don't know. But you can't take things for granted. We can't do screwy stuff like Abraham did with his wife. And when the word of the Lord comes to us, we really need to respond. Okay, we need to respond and respond now. If God's talking to you about something, maybe the Lord's talking to you about your position in Him. Well, you got to respond. Because again, you don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. I do suspect that if God's speaking to us, He's been speaking to us a while. It's not just like all of a sudden, but He's been talking to us day by day, minute by minute. Hey, I love you. Hey, do this. Hey, correct that. Hey, change that. It's for your better. So looking at the lives of these two men, the believer, the unbeliever, it's really odd that the unbeliever acted more like a believer, isn't it? A lesson to learn. Act like a believer and live like a believer. Live on the word of the Lord because it's true. And because He died for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. God, we know it was short tonight, God, but we know that Your Spirit moved, and we pray that we will respond to You, Your love and Your grace. Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we make the wrong moves, when we listen more to the flesh as opposed to the Spirit, Lord, we ask forgiveness of that. Lord, we also ask for forgiveness when we blow our witness. When believers act more godly than we do, Lord, we ask, God, that You would forgive us of that, that You would fortify us, and that You would give to us a new heart, Lord, that we would be a great witness before You and before mankind. In Jesus' name we say, amen.